tackle this third chapter, I want to go back just a little bit. In Colossians 2 and 20. And I'm going to be reading quite a few statements here and a few scriptures just so you get comfortable and just know I'm going to be flipping through your word today. Amen? Colossians 2 and 20, just to give context of what's happening in the third chapter. It reads, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?" Why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? "Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men." And then verse 23 says, "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in real worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." So what we have here is, again, that statement, "If ye be dead," almost similar to what says in Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ. So if you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines, not of God, but of men. Amen? It's basically speaking like this. A mechanical, religious, external routine, asceticism, or legalistic approach, are seen to be needless as they are futile and have short-term power. Living in such a way to where you are so careful about everything, living by the legalistic law, is not necessarily a guarantee that you will have the power to live holy, nor is it an indication that you are certainly living holy or that you are super hyper spiritual, if you will. Amen? So, and in verse 23 again, let's just read it again, because I want to give you a couple of ways to see this. "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in real worship." Real worship is basically trying to live up to the standards of God by willpower. Okay? And then it says here, "Real worship and humility." This false humility where you place yourself under all these rules and regulations and you humble yourself under the law. And neglect the body to an honor, any honor of satisfying of the flesh. Now, that's an interesting statement there. I'm neglecting my body. I'm doing without. I am giving off this false humility in effort to please God and to glorify God. And it's basically saying here that all you end up doing is satisfying your flesh. Woo! Just so you didn't think I made that up, I'm going to give you a different translation. The ESV, verse 23 in the second chapter of Colossians, says this: "These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism," I'm going to go into what that means later on, "and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh." No, let's go a little bit further. Drop down, same verse, let's go into the New Living Translation now, because I didn't make this up. Alright, "These rules," verse 23 says in the Living Translation of Colossians 2, "these rules may seem wise." They look like, oh, he really knows what he's doing. She really looks like she's really being holy by abstaining from everything. Amen? "They may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline." I don't do nothing. I'm saved. I don't do nothing. You hear me? "Severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires." Wow. This is an indication, church. I'm talking to the church here. That though you have been saved, your focus is not on the power of grace, but your focus is on the law. Focusing on the do's and don'ts of the law is law-based thinking and not flowing in the power of God's grace. Amen? And what they're saying here, what Paul is saying here through the power of the Holy Spirit to the church is that they do not help you to live holy. What they actually do is they feed your religious ego and fill you with pride. All right, now I'm going to read some things here, and I hope you're following with me. Okay, because this is important, because we're going to go into that fifth chapter of Colossians 3, and just, I mean, fifth verse of Colossians 3 just in just a minute, but I want to set it up. There's lawlessness, which is being liberal without restraints, and then there is the other opposite extreme, which is asceticism and legalism, where you dot every I and cross every T and for God, but you do it in your own power like the Pharisees did. And never forget, it was the legalistic and asceticism of the Pharisees and the Essenes, which was another group back then at that time. Those people were responsible for killing Jesus. Amen? It wasn't the liberals. No, it was the religious folks who were operating in their own power and not the power of God. Amen? So, and here's the thing. They did this and they put themselves in prison and everyone else around them in a religious prison, all the while thinking they were doing good because they have this great zeal for God. Now be careful with great zeal for God, because zeal for God can be misdirected. Paul had great zeal for God. And he's going around killing Christians. Just because you're zealous to do a certain thing that you believe is good does not necessarily mean you are operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, great zeal for God and dotting every I and crossing every T and putting yourself in a prison and everybody else along with you, but it doesn't necessarily help you to live holy long term. Because you're hooked up to the wrong power source. Your life is running on the power of you and not the power of Jesus. For instance, this is my laptop again. My laptop right now is not running on power that is plugged directly into the wall. It is running on its own battery. Now, it will run for some time. And it will be impressive for some time. But eventually, after a while, because it's not hooked up to a continual power source, it will lose power. Same thing with the church. When you're using your own power, it's like you're running on your battery and not Jesus. Oh, so your ability to live holy long-term, where you perpetuate the things of holiness in a long-term manner, is going to be limited. You're going to run out of power. You're running on fumes, trying to hold yourself up. Doesn't work. If you're not plugged into Jesus, you're going to run out of steam. All right. There are priests and pastors who have great zeal for holiness, and they live very strict lives. No sex, no fun, no touring, no touching, no vacation, no this, no that. Now, we don't run by anything. We don't do anything. They're running on their own battery power. And they're not plugged in directly to Christ, whose power never runs out. So they live these very strict lives, and they find themselves in a rather interesting situation when they run on fumes and the power runs out. They run out of steam. They find that this is where you find folks who are in religious positions where clergy members and priests are ending up touching children and sleeping with folks they shouldn't be sleeping with. You find out that all of a sudden, Pastor so-and-so or Priest so-and-so has a side life. They develop these secret lives that they live. Why? Because they went too far calling everything evil. They deny themselves things that God was never even concerned about. Now, let's contrast that with what the Word of God says about us and the power that we're supposed to be surviving on, and the power that's supposed to be enabling us to live these holy lives of sanctification. Colossians 2:10. Just back up just a little bit. A few more verses up the page. Colossians 2 and 10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. This is what I'm speaking to you about today. My sermon is, all we need is Jesus. Jesus is enough. Jesus is all we need. We're complete in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus? You're saved? Huh? The Holy Spirit is living in you? He doesn't come in some half version where you got to make up the difference. You are complete in Jesus Christ. You have everything you need in Jesus Christ. Jesus is whole in you right now. Woo! Take that in. Oh, Pastor, I don't know about that. Well, watch this. Because of that, Paul's letter, when he starts talking to the Colossians, who are being infiltrated by these Jews who are coming to him saying that they need to be circumcised, they need to have this strict diet, they need to not wear certain clothing, they need to do all these things that are legalistically put in the law that were used to isolate and separate Israel at that time, which is not the time we're living in right now in a dispensation of grace. What we have here is the letter of Colossians switches at verse 2 and 8. Back up two more verses. All right. He says this, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Not the word of God, but the tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world, the spiritual world where, you know, we're dependent on all these other things, these extra things that are not of God. They're not of Christ. It's not what Christ said. Huh? And not after Christ. See, here's the thing. Beware lest they spoil you through philosophy. You don't know about this. This will make you more holy if you do this. If you develop this knowledge here, if you learn this, if it's not in the Word, throw it out. Okay? After the world and not after Christ. You see the difference there? Colossians 2:16. A few verses down. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days. You got folks who are abstaining from all kinds of things that do not help them. I don't eat this diet. I don't do that. I don't got pork. You know what? Pork ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. It doesn't. Now, the Lord may be telling you to take it easy on the bacon because of your health. But that ain't got nothing to do with whether or not you're saved or not. Are you hearing me, saints? Let that stuff go. If you're not, as it says also in Colossians, the second chapter, if you're not holding fast to the head, who is Jesus Christ, and you're adopting all these extra things, it's not of God. And it's impotent, which means it has no power. It will not keep you from your flesh. It'll just make you feel like you're really doing something while you puff yourself up with pride in your ego. All right. So what is... Before we do that, Galatians 5 and 1. Yeah, that's good. Galatians 5 and 1. The Word of God reads, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There are people who are seemingly hell-bent on stripping away your assurance that you are in Christ. And they do it because of their own insecurities. There are people who will condemn you because you are not as rigid as they are. They have the ability to make you feel, as I learned from what John MacArthur said, as some second-class Christian. Even if they believe you're Christian at all. They are self-proclaimed spiritual elites that do more harm than good by getting you to depend on their example of holiness in hopes that it leads to you imitating their version of holiness and not depending on Christ. Are you hearing me, saints? So he's saying, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has already made you free. and don't get entangled again. Don't go back into the bondage where Jesus Christ has brought you out of that. There are people who are putting themselves in prison and want you to join them. Come away from that. Lean on Jesus. Lean on what the Word of God says. If it does not specifically say something is wrong, okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself. All right, back up, Jamie, back up. What is asceticism? Asceticism. A-S-C-E-T-I-C-I-S-M. Asceticism. I'm just going to read some statements here. So, just hang with me. Asceticism is not easily defined because it is manifest in the diversity of ways. Okay, so it's very diverse. But in general, it involves self-deprivation, and it usually is pursued out of a desire to glorify God by avoiding what is harmful and limiting oneself to what is necessary to maintain in life. It is unfortunately susceptible to the danger that the pursuit may become suddenly diverted to desire to outstrip one's fellows, the people that are around you, and to be credited with holiness or a holiness of life attained by unattained by ordinary morals. What is he saying? He's saying these spiritual elite, in turn, may seek to dominate other people's lives. Uh-huh. There is no pride like the pride that bases itself on asceticism. The claim to direct with authority the lives of others and the conduct of others. That's what James Denny wrote. In other words, he's saying basically people who are practicing asceticism tend to put themselves in such a prison and dominate not only their lives by this legal code, but they also want to dominate your life. Are you hearing me? What is legalism? Legalism refers to an emphasis on man-made rules and prohibitions as a standard for spirituality. Have you ever been around people like this? The specific rules and prohibitions may be different today, but the errors are the same. And so people come into the body of Christ and they tell you that it's wrong to drink alcohol, and it's wrong to watch secular movies, it's wrong to play cards, it's wrong to wear makeup, it's wrong to wear fashionable clothes, it's wrong to listen to secular music, it's wrong to dance. Don't dance like David dance. Don't dance like David dance. Don't dance like anybody. Just don't dance. And on and on and on and on. And these individuals are not only convinced that these practices are wrong, but consider it their duty to judge you as unspiritual because you do them. Huh. A legalist, just reading a few statements here, I want you to get this. A legalist looks at life and says everything is wrong unless you can prove it by the Bible that it is right. Therefore, we must have nothing to do with anything that the Bible does not say is right. And that reduces life to this very narrow range of activity. Are you hearing me, saints? But the biblical Christian looks at the life that God has given them because they're free. And they say, everything is right. God has given us a world to enjoy and live in. And everything is right unless the Bible specifically says that it's wrong. You see the difference? The person who practices asceticism and legalism says everything is wrong. The Bible says that the biblical Christian says everything is right unless my word tells me that it's wrong. There's a major difference there. Amen? One thing will have you bound up and in chains. Another thing will have you free in Christ. Which one you want to be? All right. Now, balance that, Pastor Jamie. Some things are wrong. Some things are harmful. Some things are very dangerous. Adultery is always wrong. Fornication is always wrong. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. Sexual promiscuity is always wrong. Lying is always wrong. Stealing, it's always wrong. These things are never right. The Bible specifically says these things are things that believers should not be doing. But there's so much that's still left open to us. There's still so much freedom. Don't come in here telling me, listen, you watch that movie, you're going to hell. You can't be a Christian. I
saw you with some beer.
Yeah.
Now, I personally don't drink. That's what God told me to do, because I have some things in my life that God told me, listen, Jamie, for you, this is how the Spirit is leading you. But I can't go around and tell that to everybody else when God may not be dealing with them in that way. For instance, everybody may know this about me. I come from an R&B career. Okay, I went into preaching straight from Jodeci. God help us. So, here's the thing. When I was doing that music, I wasn't affected by that music like other people may be affected by that music. You know, when I was a kid, when I was, you know, being brought up on Barbra Streisand, Earth, Wind, and Fire Can Function, don't let me send you into a thing. Don't let me send you into a thing. But when I was brought up on that kind of music, and OJs, Barry Manilow even believed that. When I was listening to that music, you know, I might have been a little baby or a four-year-old eating some Cheerios and some Fruit Loops sitting at the table going, you know, oh, this is funky. I love this. You know, whatever I was doing. Now, for some of our older saints who have been through some things, y'all might have been at Studio 54 in New York twirling around high on acid doing all kinds of craziness. So I can listen to that same song, and you might be able to go, oh, that's too much, Pastor. I got to get some things out of my head and turn that off. Now, as a weaker brother in that situation, I may abstain from listening to those things around you. But that does not mean that those things affect me in the same way that they affected you. And the Holy Spirit may be leading me differently than he's leading you. So I become some legalist when I try to put you in the same prison that, you know, I'm not in. Or, you understand what I'm saying? So here's the thing. That's what was happening with the Colossians church and the Galatians church and the provinces of Galatia. The Jews were coming in saying, listen, this is how we get down with the law. And the new Christians who were coming from the Gentile, you know, tribes, they were saying, we don't know nothing about that. What are you talking about? I got to go get circumcised now? I can't eat what I was eating before? I like rattlesnake. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Don't come in and drop all of your culture and all your stuff on top of me when I'm not affected by that. That's you, and that's where the Holy Spirit may have you. Now listen, I'm going to be cool with you, and you're going to be cool with me, and the body of Christ may have a lot of variety in it, and Jesus is just teaching us how to love everybody that may be coming from a different street that you came from, but you don't go and just overcast the whole church with your preferences. Hallelujah! Get free! All right, where was I? But there are some things that the Bible says are specifically wrong. We're going to get into that. But here's the thing. This is what I want you to understand. No amount of self-control, no physical suffering whatsoever can change the carnal mind, which the scripture emphatically calls the flesh. Let me give you an example of what I saw from one of my study devotions that I saw on when it comes to asceticism and legalism and being free in Christ. There's a guy by the name of Saint Jerome, and he lived a notorious life. He was just lecherous in his youth. And he became a Christian. And he fled from all contact with all the gross, vulgar world which he had once, you know, sought to gratify himself and live in a very fleshly, lust-filled manner. Amen? Where he fulfilled every desire. He fled from all of that and left. And he left Rome and he wandered into Palestine and he lived in a cave near Bethlehem, where he sought to subdue his carnal nature by fasting and praying and almost starving himself to death and not touching anything and not doing anything. He just lived alone in this cave being holy for Jesus. And he was greatly disappointed when he was so exhausted and almost passed out and almost had to be taken to the hospital, and he fell into a dream, and while he was dreaming, all he was thinking about was all the stuff he used to do. All the partying he used to do, and all the rioting he used to do, and all the people that he used to hang with that he don't hang with anymore. What I'm trying to say, saints, is that your asceticism and your legalistic ways of empowering yourself to live holy don't work. The flesh is the flesh, and your willpower is no match for the flesh. So what must we do? What do we do, Pastor? How do we... What's the balance here? How do I How do I move, hallelujah, from where I'm at into a place where I can start to begin to grow in holiness and to start to live holy for God? How do I do it, Pastor? That is my desire, and I'm learning that I can't keep myself, so how am I going to do it? Well, if you come out of Colossians 2 into Colossians 3, which should not be separated by chapters and verses, it's one letter, you will see that there is a flow through here, a through line into what we were talking about last week. And it says this, verse 1, chapter 3, Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If you are risen, since you are risen, is what it says. Your position is actually, you. Like I said last week, there was a co-resurrection. Jesus didn't just get up, you got up with him. So because you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you are seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father with Jesus Christ. Woo! And that's how you see yourself. Amen? Huh? I see myself as risen with Christ. And what do? I seek the things which are above. Huh? I set my affections on the things that are above. Which I told you is a directional thing. He says where Christ sitteth at the right hand. So it's not just the things in the geography of heaven. You're setting your mind, your thoughts, your focus on Jesus Christ himself. He's the one that's at the right hand of God. I'm thinking about him. I keep my mind on him. Because that's where I really am. Huh? Verse 3. For ye are presently, right now, dead. I'm risen with Christ, but I'm dead to this world. I'm dead to Satan's control. I'm dead to demonic spiritual domination. I am dead to those things right now. And my life is securely hidden in Christ. Okay? Hidden, secure, not going anywhere. I'm with Jesus. If you're saved, you're with Jesus right now in heavenly places. Yes, you live on earth, but you are in Christ right now as we speak. Hidden. Not only hidden in terms of security, but hidden in terms of what you can see with your natural eye right now. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. We believe that we are in Christ. We believe right now that I'm in Christ, even though I cannot see my perfect living self in Christ right now. That's where I am. And I believe that. I take that on. That is my identity. I wear that righteousness in my mind, saints. Okay? You are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ. Back that up, Pastor. Go to Romans 6. Woo! Romans 6, 11. Getting comfortable. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Consider yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but, comma, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is our positional thinking here. Now, here comes the practice. Back up a few verses, top of the chapter, Romans 6, 1 and 2. Romans 6, 1 and 2. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Why? How shall we, here's the position again, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? There's the practice. What are you saying, Pastor? Back to Colossians 3 and 3. For ye are dead. Hear this sense. This is a positional transforming truth here that blessed my soul. The only thing that can control the depraved lusts that originate from our old nature, inherited from Adam, is death. Why? Death separates. Death liberates. Death disconnects. Death frees us.
Paul explains that when Christ died, believers died to the power of sin once and for all. The question is do you consider yourselves dead to sin or alive? Not whether or not you just dot every I, cross every T. No, do you consider yourself risen with Christ, dead to sin? So it doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter whether or not I feel like I'm dead to sin or not. The truth is Scripture tells you that this is what you are. Scripture says that this is now the believer's position. This is now the believer's possession. This holy power that we have when we recognize where we are risen in Christ and who we are and who's also inside of us, when we realize that, then Christ and his power belong to us and nothing can change that truth, whether you feel like it or not. Sometimes I don't feel like I am holy. Sometimes I don't feel like I am risen. But that doesn't change what God said about me. The question is what am I going to believe? What I feel or what God said? And I'm telling you, I'm walking in this power right now. There are things that the enemy tries to bring to me. There are things that my flesh tries to bring to me. And then God says, Jamie, that's not who you are. More importantly, that's not where you are. What do you mean? Verse 4, Colossians 3 and 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Here's the thing, saints. When Christ comes back and breaks through the clouds, I said it before, I'm going to say it again. You're going to be with him, proving that that's where you've always been. I'm on earth, yes, but I'm showing up in Christ, yes. Are you hearing me, saints? Which means I don't agree with asceticism or legalism, but I also don't approve of the things that God hates. Okay, here we go. This is where it starts to turn. Now we're going into verse 5. We don't approve of this thing where I, you know, got to be so strict and rigid, you know, that I start, you know, doing a bunch of stuff or stop doing a bunch of stuff that Jesus didn't ever, you know, never commanded. They're just doctrines of men. But I'm also pursuing the things of God and agreeing with what Jesus Christ did say specifically in his word. Yeah, yeah. What are you saying? Verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members because of this position that we are in. Here comes the balance, saints. Mortify your members, therefore your members, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I'm going to break that down, but here's my point. Back to verse 4. Because I am with Jesus Christ, and I'm appearing with Jesus Christ, proving that that has always been my position, huh? When I got saved, and even before the foundation of the world, huh? I am in Christ. That means I agree with Christ. I don't agree with policies that are against Christ. I don't vote for people who push policies that are against Christ. I don't. I don't go with the lesser evil thinking. Oh, you know, well, we just go along with this. You know, here's the thing, people. I am with Christ, and Christ is in me, and I am in Christ. There are some people who will go along with certain thinking, and they will go along with certain policies that certain, let me be very honest with you, certain politicians will push and want to perpetuate that Jesus actually hates. And because the Christians feel like we've been boxed into a corner because you've been playing chess with Satan, huh? You feel like there's no other way for you to vote. There's no other way for you to decide on things. There's no other, I know this is uncomfortable, and I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to sit up there and tell the truth. There's no other way for you to cast your vote. There's no other way for you to make a decision. Satan loves the lesser evil thinking. Why? Because Satan desires that believers are pushed into making compromises and choices that disagree with who they are really in and who they are and where they really are, so that eventually we end up in a place where nobody's honoring God, where nobody's glorifying God, where nobody's living holy, where everything is legal, where everything is acceptable. That's not the truth either. No, the balance is we don't
You know, adhere to doctrines of men that try to put us in prison as far as things that Jesus did not say, but we don't agree with things that Jesus specifically said for us not to do and how he told us not to live. That's the balance. Are you hearing me, saints? Huh? So, it's a lesser evil. And Satan is counting on that. He's been doing it for years, waiting to box us in a corner where eventually we just look around and there's no Christian representation of anything because we're just agreeing with everybody now. That's not right. There are certain things he said we should not be doing. Mortify your members. We're not agreeing with all kinds of sexual stuff. We're not agreeing with all kinds of marriages. We're not agreeing with all kinds of... No, we don't do that. We don't agree with abortion. No, Jesus hates that. We don't agree with that. Okay? That's clear in the Bible. Not the murky, murky stuff that people try to, throw at us, but there's some stuff that's very clear. There are sexual sins that we should stay away from. We'll talk about some other things next week, but listen to this. Sexual sin in any form, okay? We talk about, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. Let me just kind of give you a snapshot of what all those things are. Illicit sexual relationships in any form that goes against what God is saying. Jesus has clarified that there are forbidden sexual behaviors between people or indirect participation as an audience participation. That's where we get our term of pornography. So you're having sex with people you shouldn't, or you're watching other people do that on the screen or whatever. All of that is wrong. Jesus has been clear about that. We derive our term pornography from those types of things. Believers ought to show self-discipline and prove that they are in the power of God when it comes to being obedient to God in terms of their sexual practices. Amen. Amen. Impurity, that's moral uncleanness. A person exhibits crudeness or insensitivity in sexual matters. Lust, evil sexual passions that lead to excessive sexual immorality or perversion. That's where you get the homosexual agenda. That's where you get all these other things that people are trying to do now that we're trying to make acceptable. I got passion for somebody else's wife. That ain't your wife. Hey, I got passion for somebody else's husband. That's lusting after people that don't belong to you. Huh? Then we got, greediness. Huh? Isn't it interesting that the people that are greedy and always want things, they don't have their passion under control. It's the same root. I'm not satisfied. I've got to have more, 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 more. Huh? Relentless urge to satisfy oneself, to get more for yourself. In context, Paul is focusing on satisfying evil desires, taking more than what you should have. And not just in getting stuff, but in sexual immorality. Greedy. Huh? Greed is described as idolatry because the focus is on fulfilling your desires and not on pleasing God. You see that? Huh? When you are controlled by your lack of appetite management, as we said last week, huh, to the point to where you rebel against God's clearly written word, then your appetite is really your real new God. Huh? That's what your appetite has become, your new God. Huh? It's called idolatry. Now, here's what we need to understand. Appetite management cannot be managed by you. Hey! Appetite management is managed by the king, the head, holding fast to the head, which is Jesus Christ. Appetite management is only going to be controlled by Jesus Christ, running on his power, not yours. Our holy position should show itself to be the real thing by our holy practice in direction, not perfection. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect in this matter. I'm saying is that day by day, as I'm moving forward, I had a little slip there, but I'm still going in the same direction. I'm still moving towards Christ. I don't do everything perfectly, but I'm moving towards Jesus Christ. I'm becoming more and more like him. Are you hearing me, saints? Huh? No one is perfect, but the direction of our progress should be towards increasing holiness. Why? Because I know where I am, and I live like I know where I am. That's what God wants us to do. I am risen. I am dead to
I am dead to the root, the rituals and the all of the ceremonial things that we do to try to make us seem like we're more holy. Here's the thing I always deal with when it comes to sexual relationships. The thing about Satan is this. Satan wants the folks who should be having sex to stop. And he wants the folks who shouldn't be having sex to start. He twists things. He wants us to be greedy for a bunch of stuff and be all out of sort and not give glory to God. The problem is that we're not being satisfied in Christ. We're not being satisfied in Jesus. So we want what we don't need, and we go after who we shouldn't be with. Come on, somebody! I hope we're getting to get free today, get free today, get free today. So what does Satan do? He takes things that should not be good and says, oh, that's not so bad. And he takes things that are good and he twists it and makes it perverted. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you getting this? So you and your husband ain't touched each other in 3 years. And Satan said, but you want to touch the side chick or the side dude. That's twisted. Are you getting it? Are you hearing me? Solve that problem tonight. Go ahead, in the name of Jesus. Go. All right, here we go. What was I? So, this is the thing. When your thoughts are focused on Christ, when your thoughts are focused on Him and not you trying to be as holy as possible but in your own power, when your thoughts are focused on where you are in Christ and being translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the marvelous light, or translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son, as we saw last week, huh? Into the very presence of Jesus Christ Himself there in heaven. When you see yourself that way, then that's when you have the power. But here's the question. Here's the question. Are you living off of that power? Are you using that power? Do you know where you really are? Huh? Do you know that all you need is Jesus Christ? Huh? It's about being where you already are in Christ, risen with Him. Are you seeing that? It's about being who you really are, risen with Him. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? Huh? It's about your position lining up with your practice. Your practice lining up with your position, which is up in heaven with Jesus right now. That's where the believer is. Now, how do you behave in heaven next to the throne? Huh? Your position ought to match, huh, where you are down here. Your position in heaven and your practice ought to be in sync. Huh? You ought to act down here like you are up there. Remember, you're already risen. So what would you be doing in Jesus' face right now? What would you not be doing in Jesus' face right now? Are you seeing that? What would you be doing while He's looking at you right now? What would you not be doing while He's looking at you right now? That's where you really are. You're risen with Christ at the right hand of the Father, seated in heavenly places. With Him, right? In reality, you have been raised with Christ. But the way you accomplish living a sanctified and holy life right now is by focusing your thoughts on where He is, who He is, how He is. Huh? Paul explained it differently when he said in Philippians 4, 18, finally, brethren, 4 and 8, Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So here's another way to see this, huh? Fix your thoughts on what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is admirable, what is excellent, what is worthy of praise. Well, here's another way to see that, saints. Not just the things that are pure, but who is pure? Jesus. Fix your mind on who is pure. Who is pure? Jesus. Fix your mind on who is lovely. Fix your mind on who is excellent. Fix your mind on who is worthy of praise. Fix your mind on that person. Who is that person? Jesus Christ. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Set your affections on things above. You hear that? Are you seeing it? Huh. Now, I've had the honor, I'm going to close with this, of spending a lot of time with my children lately. My wife has been out of town doing some research. She's spending some time with her dad, get some quality time there. And I've had some time to hold down the fort with the kids. Amen? And I've been working on how I talk to my children. I've been working on how I correct my children. I don't reinforce the bad behavior. I don't tell them they are bad kids when they are behaving incorrectly. I've been telling them, no, you are good kids. You are kids that can obey your father. You are children that lovingly obey their parents. You will respect your mother and father because that's who you really are. Are you seeing this, saints? I keep saying it, and they're starting to believe it. And I'm actually beginning to see some changes in some areas where they have been unmovable. They're actually becoming, watch this, when I'm speaking over them. So here we go. Same thing with the body of Christ. When God tells you you are risen, believe it. When God tells you you are dead to sin, believe it. When the word of God says, reckon yourselves dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus, believe it. Believe it. Not your try. It's rest in the grace and the power of God. Don't run out of fumes. Don't run out of power. Don't run out of battery. Plug yourself into Jesus where he's telling you this is who you are. This is where you really are. You with me anyway. Huh? So what's the scripture? 1 Peter, last scripture, 1:14. 1 Peter, 1:14. Listen to this in a new way, saints. 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 14th verse. As obedient children. Did you see what he just said? Did you see what he called you? Did you see that? Huh? As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Just take that, just that much, okay? As obedient children. Not begging you to become obedient. He's saying you already are. He's saying, go ahead and be what God has made you to be. I don't feel like I am, Pastor. Believe it. Believe it. Because reinforcing what you no longer are is not working out for us. Are you seeing that? Speaking what God says is true. Believing what God says is true. Not necessarily doing it perfectly. Huh? Not locking yourself in prison by doing extra things on top of that to try to become something. No, no. Not forcing all of your opinions on everybody else. No, no. That's legalism and asceticism. I'm talking about the power of grace, which gives me something that I could not earn. Oh, saints, you got power is what I'm saying. And the devil doesn't want you to know that. Huh? Be who you already are. By faith. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Okay, don't live by how you feel, nor fearfully overreact to what you're feeling and turn to legalism and asceticism and live out of some strict code. But live out of what you know from the truth found in God's word. It's about what God says I am in spite of how I feel. When I live out the truth that I know, then I'm under the grace of God and free from the prison of the law, which can't save anybody and does not cause anybody to live sanctified in the first place. Being some super strict Christian which abstains from everything that even looks wrong by your own power and not by the power of Christ will not enable you to live holy long term. If your lifestyle is not hooked up to the right power source, you're run out. I'm telling you over and over again, you're run out. And you start doing weird stuff. It happens. All right? As it says in Colossians, the 2nd chapter and the 23rd verse, will worship is powered by willpower. And willpower is not strong enough. Are you hearing me? It doesn't last. But seeing your position in Christ will rightly empower you to serve God, to love God. Huh? When you really see what he's done for you, when you really see the truth of where you really are, when you really see what the Word of God is saying about you, when you really see and begin to agree with what God is saying, you will love God. You will serve God. You will worship God. You will glorify God because he's given you something that you didn't deserve. You have this power in you. It's a treasure in you. Are you hearing me, saints? I want to encourage you today. Huh? Don't take this truth and abuse it. Take this truth and use it. You are now in Christ, a position of honor, a placement that you couldn't get to by yourself. Jesus has given you this. It is a power for the believer to live holy by rightly seeing the truth of what Jesus Christ has said about it. So, you're not just on earth, saints. If you don't hear anything else I said this morning, the power comes from realizing you're not just on earth. The power comes when you realize that you are in Christ. You are fully accepted, fully loved. There is nothing you can do to change that. And when you realize that God loves you unconditionally, you will respond in love to him. All that God requires for you is to believe what he says about you and remember where you really, really are. So you don't need all the do's and don'ts on top of God's word. And you're not taking the grace of God to do things that he said specifically not to do in his word. See, balance? All you need is to keep your eyes on Christ. Remember, you are risen. All you need is Jesus. Amen. Please share this message. Please share this gospel so that the body of Christ will represent Christ in everything that we do, in all the decisions that we make. We'll live like we really are where we are. And that's what the world needs to see. Not a bunch of strict do's and don'ts, but people who love Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you next time. Amen.